gentlemen, welcome to this episode of Magic the Amateuring.
We are Magic Amateurs, and we are here to bring you a podcast.
And break your bones with our bare hands.
I'm gonna do that thing that WWE wrestlers do, where they take a chair and they break it over your back.
Megan is so threatening.
I'm gonna do it.
I'm gonna do like those ladies do when they bring in the cards and they put them over their heads for the round numbers, but on the edge of my card is gonna be a razor blade, and I'm gonna chop somebody's head off with it.
Jesus Christ.
You didn't see that one coming, did you, wrestler dudes?
Nope, really didn't.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Magic the Amateuring is a show for Magic new players, a.k.a. noobs, veterans who are coming back to the game after years of being apart, and anybody who likes to laugh about Magic, or just things in general. If you don't like to laugh, perhaps consider seeing a doctor. My name's Maria. I'm one of your Magic amateurs. Learned to play a year and a half ago. I'm joined by Megan, another one of my amateur friends.
I'm a doctor. You can tell me if you can't laugh, and I'll prescribe you something.
My name is Ben. I'm the other amateur, and I am not a doctor. And so my first rule is to always do harm.
Do harm first. Yeah. Do only harm.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk about some of the new sets that are coming out, you guys.
Ooh.
We've got new sets coming out. We've got some...
Name three.
Okay, that's what I was just going to do. M15's coming up.
Oh.
Vintage Masters is coming up.
Say what?
Conspiracy's coming up.
Oh, pretty cool.
And eventually, you know, M16 and Khans of Tarkir and all that, too.
Yeah, so, yeah. But those are someday.
Someday.
Someday sets.
Those are somedays.
Yeah.
We've got a card of the week for you and a really fun brand new Flavor Text Theater. Yeah, so stay tuned. Stay in your seat. Keep your seatbelt on. Keep it fastened. Lock your arms down. Lock your legs into those little things that are provided for your legs to be locked into. And inject yourself with a sleeping serum.
What? Why? And how can I inject myself with anything once I've strapped myself down to all of this shit?
You know what you did.
For the noobs.
Okay, you guys got any noobs?
Do
I've
I
got
have
two noobs? Noobs?
All right, crack open that pack of noobs.
Oh. Oh, look at all these noobs inside this pack.
Oh, noobs are all here.
Oh, they're covered in mucus.
Well, what did you expect?
Gross.
You're a doctor. Or not a doctor, rather.
Mm-hmm.
Megan, you had a question for the noobs this
week. Yeah, so I was thinking yesterday, I was, you know, doing a little draft online, like you do, and I was wondering at the time, I was like, oh crap, I have like 26 cards that are all good, and I think could potentially have a place in my deck.
First world problems, am I right?
Yeah, man. And it wasn't one of those days of... Scraping together 23 playables. Anyways, and I was like, how do I choose which of these cards stays and which of these cards is gonna go?
Yeah.
Which of these cards to play
and
which of them to burn?
Yeah, it's like you're ordering a pizza. How do you choose what toppings to put on it?
Good question. So should I just say the toppings I don't like and then you pick from one randomly?
Yeah, that sounds like a great way to order a pizza.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
So, Ben.
What up, bro?
What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, there's so many factors to take into account. I always think that the overarching factor is what is your game plan and how do the different cards fit into your game plan? The tricky thing is that as you put different cards in, your game plan can change a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some cards are very aggressive, really good in aggressive decks, like Ordeals or something. If you're trying to decide whether or not to put an Ordeal in, it really depends on how well your creatures attack, or if you think you're going to be able to just be have a faster start than your opponent, a more aggressive start. And another consideration, probably the biggest consideration you should always take into account is your curve.
Oh.
What do you want your curve to look like? And sometimes when you're cutting cards out of a deck, you just say, oh, well, based on what I have here, I just have to cut a 5-drop because I have 4 5-drops or something like that. And you just got to get them rid of them. And this, I find, is especially true in Theros, where there's a lot of six, like five and six drops are just pretty bad because there's so many bestow creatures for five and six mm-hmm. that like they're better than having basically any six or five drop in that slot.
Wouldn't you rather just bestow?
Wouldn't I rather? You know it.
Yeah.
This brings up an interesting point. The other day I was streaming twitch.tv/magicTheAmaturing. Come and watch. And I had a Lagana Band Trailblazer, which is the O4 who is heroic and gets a plus one.
Oh, you were blazing?
When, yeah, I was blazing. Well, wait a second. I was not smoking the marijuana weed, if that's okay. What you mean. and it gets plus
hot
one.
Hot box and one dropping?
But I don't know what those words mean. plus one when he's targeted. And I had, what was it, Moral Obstinacy, which gives plus mm-hmm. one, plus one. You can sack it to destroy an enchantment.
Did you say Moral Obstinacy?
What is it?
Mortal.
This whole time I thought it was Moral.
Those mean two very different things.
I know, I thought it was a weird name.
Why is he so obstinate about his morals?
Okay. Anyway,
what does that even have to do with fighting anyways?
Maybe he just objects to the battle on some kind of moral grounds.
That's like the other day when we were watching you stream and you kept saying extricate or extricate instead of excoriate.
I definitely said extricate as in to like send somebody out of the country.
What?
No, wait, what's that word?
Extradite.
Oh god, that's hard. I knocked my head full time.
Extradite, send someone out of the country.
Excuse me, but
extricate, to remove someone from a situation.
Excuse me, but your leaf crown dryad must be tried for crimes under the jurisdiction of Nyx.
We have to extradite him.
Oh my god. Anyway.
Well, Maria.
What I'm trying to say is that my deck did not specifically want Mortal Obstinacy without cards like Lagana Band Trailblazer that could benefit from such a card.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
so it was kind
of
like, if I cut the Trailblazer, then I also cut the Mortal Obstinacy. So it's like, if you take one out, you have to consider what other ones need to be removed because your deck is less strong because of it, because you don't have enough heroes or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
Could be a chain effect. Pretty soon you just have to take out all of your deck.
Yeah. I was particularly caught up in the dilemma of, like, I think I was... like, some of the cards under consideration were Thought Render Lamia, which I felt was good because I had a constellation theme going on. I was, like, a blue-black aggressive deck, and I had this early stuff. And then I had the Dreadbringer Lampads, that constellations for Intimidate. And then I was like, oh, that would be good because, you know, then I can finish people off in the late game. If I whittle them down low, but then they get out some blockers, I can always constellation for Intimidate, and that's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was also, you know, what's his face?
Sure.
That card.
Sure.
One of the other ones was Servant of Timuret.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you know, that seems like that's generally considered to be a good card. It's always a good card. But again, my deck was more aggressive, so I was like, do I really want a 1/3? Mm. I already had one in my deck. Do I really want a second Servant of Timuret in this aggressive deck?
Mm.
And then I had a Disciple of Phoenix, which again goes under the thing is like, it's a good card.
Just not very aggressive.
Do I want it? But it's not very aggressive. But my deck doesn't have a ton of removal, so do I want to try and preempt them?
So do you stick to your guns, or do you change your guns?
Or do you stick your guns on yourself?
Wow.
Wow. I'm going to use my deck to kill myself.
I want to make my creatures attack me.
Can you do that?
No.
Okay. Just, you never know. There might be a situation.
Act of treason.
Sure. If you...
you know.
But you can't give it an act of treason to your opponent.
Here, I just want you to cast
this. Can you
this?
Just cast this?
Here's a mountain to go with it in case you don't have any.
Just the sadists who play Magic.
Here you go, buddy. Anyways, so I was sort of caught up in that dilemma of like, my curve could have really supported any of those three cards.
Oh, your curve could have, but yeah, your, like my did curve... your game plan support them?
Yeah, exactly, and that's kind of where I got caught up. I was like, do I really want to push this constellation theme? Do I just want to have a Disciple of Phoenix to try and preemptively, you know, get their answers out of their hand? Or do I want this Servant of Timuret, just a generally a good card?
And which did you pick?
I picked Disciple of Phoenix.
And how do you feel about that,
Jess? I actually ended up feeling very good about it. So, especially one time I hit them with an Ordeal of Erebos that cracked and they had to discard. And then I played Disciple of Phoenix to see the rest of their hand and took their last card. It was pretty great.
That's very interesting because I would think that of those cards, the Servant of Timuret seems like the most aggressive card to me because you said it was a 1-3, but it often acts like a 2-3. Yeah. It can get in for a lot of damage and it can close out kind of the remaining damage of the game as well.
Yeah, I agree.
But really, I think it depends. You know, those cards are both, they both vary so much depending on what else is in your deck. The Servant can get a lot better if you can bestow things onto it.
Yeah.
And the Disciple has the devotion factor going on. So if you can support the devotion for it, it can be very good.
Yeah.
And even if you have an aggressive plan, it can be good at targeting whatever card is going to stop your aggressive plan. Because if you do have a very aggressive start, you know, you're like, you might be at a point where, oh, there's only a few cards that could actually
stop me from winning.
Yes, that can, you know, stop the music, you know?
For sure. I did also have a Gray Merchant, which definitely factored into choosing
the Disciple. Oh, well, you didn't tell us that. You had a Gray Merchant.
I had a Gray Merchant, which really affected my
decision. We were driving with crap all over our windshield.
We were like,
there was a dead body on our windshield. And you didn't even tell us.
I'm sorry.
Because his windshield's covered because he's a vampire.
Yeah, so there's the synergy thing, but then you always have to weigh that against, oh, well, how good is this? Is this just a good card?
Mm-hmm.
How good is this a good card?
How good is this good card?
Ask yourself, how good is this is good? What did you say?
How good is this a good card?
How good is this a good card?
Good question. Good.
Oh, that could be on a shirt.
What?
You guys, you don't know this. Both of you don't know this, but I keep thinking of things.
Of shirts?
Of shirts. That our podcast can produce. Because we did promise listeners when we got to 500 followers on Twitter.
We still need to...
We would give them shirts.
But we're only at like 620 now.
Yeah.
So we're only 25% past
you guys, where we made that promise. It's because we're still working on the design
and
of the shirt.
And to be fair, I never made that promise.
I definitely did.
Yeah,
I think we both did.
Yeah. So don't worry, it will happen. So I keep thinking of like, you know, fun little phrases.
Why not just good luck high five?
Seems pretty good.
Traditional us.
But I have another option for you guys. What do you think of this?
Okay.
Rock out with your mocks out.
Out of the sleeve? Not acceptable, Maria. Not acceptable. It's going to get a little grimy on it.
Okay,
it's
going
to get all grimy on the corners.
Does that answer your question, Megan?
Yes.
Do you know what card to put in now?
Yeah.
Sometimes a good card is just a good card and it has to go in even despite the fact that it doesn't fit your plan.
But sometimes your deck's really cool.
Yeah.
And you need cool cards to go with your cool deck.
All right.
Be cool, boy.
So.
Sorry, Rakdos Drake. You're not cool enough for this deck.
So number one is the card just, is it a good card?
Yeah. I think it is.
Does it fit my game plan?
Mm. Yes.
And three, does it help my curve? Does it fit my curve?
Four, is it the Scryfish?
Wow. If so, you have a separate...
Yes. Play it.
Wow, okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Always play the Scryfish, baby.
Scryfish, baby!
Mm-hmm.
That's a spinoff of Muppet Babies, but they're all Scryfish.
Scryfish babies! Do you know how small they would be? They only scry the top corner.
Yeah, but they can't talk. That's a little awkward. They have no facial expressions.
You like scry and you can only look like this. You can't flip it all the way over because they're just
you can just, you just pull it back and look at
you
it.
You can just peek.
You only get to know what the casting cost of the card is.
Yeah. Spoilers.
Spoilers.
We've got some spoilers for you. In the style of that talking head guy from the 80s, Max Headroom.
Max.
Megan looks very confused right now.
I am super confused.
Watch Back to the Future.
So, which spoilers are we talking about?
Well, you guys, so much new spoilage has happened.
Oh, what?
All my
what is
food cannot be eaten.
Yeah, what is spoiled besides the things in Ben's refrigerator?
Well, we've got some M15 spoilers, you guys.
Say what?
Yeah, so M15? Wizards...
M15?
M15, it's not even 2015 yet, and we already know some of these cards.
Mm. That's right, but M15 doesn't come out in 2015.
That's weird to me.
It's like cars.
Or magazines.
What?
What?
You know. I have the I have the February issue, even though it's January right now.
Oh, okay, I'll accept that.
Listeners, it is definitely not January. Don't think you've downloaded the wrong episode. Unless you're listening to this in the past, in which case it could be January.
Or the future.
Right.
No, we're
which is how typically people listen to this podcast.
Which is normally how time works. But you know what? I'm allowing for any kind of happening. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Wizards officially spoiled one card from this set, the Soul of Ravnica. Okay.
Oh, what is
and
the
they've
Soul
also,
of Ravnica?
Wait, that was the only
Oh, no, no, no,
the
sorry.
Soul
of
Zendikar.
Yeah. Mm. And they spoiled the Hydra as well.
And they spoiled that witch lady.
Maria, explain this to me like I'm a zygote, because I don't understand. Why is there a card called the Soul of Zendikar in the set that is not Zendikar? Is M15 set on the plane of Zendikar?
No, I don't think so. But I do think we're going to see souls of different planes that have existed throughout magic history.
What else do you think we're going to see? Are we going to see Soul of Beta?
No.
Okay. Soul of Arabian Nights?
No.
Soul of the Dark?
No.
Soul of Portal Three Kingdoms?
How long do you want to do this?
I think it could continue to be funny for a lot longer.
All right.
Soul of Fetchlands.
We've got Soul of...
the original Fetchlands from Onslaught Black.
Soul of Ravnica has been spoiled, so that would be a good one for you to say.
What is Soul of Ravnica?
It's a big fat... Well, not fat. It's a big flying...
It draws you cards. It's a... Okay, so Soul of Ravnica, 6-drop, 6/6 flyer. It's blue... You can spend 5 mana to draw a card for each color among permanents you control, or you could spend 5 and exile it, or an exile from your graveyard to draw a card for each color among permanents you control. So this is like a crazy card advantage engine. It's a ton of mana, but you get to draw probably at least 2 cards, and then also you can use it one more time out of your graveyard.
Question.
Maria.
So, Megan and I have only been playing since Return to Ravnica. So, okay. What is the deal with Zendikar and Ravnica? And, like, are these going to be somehow reflective of their various planes that they were on? Does that remind you of original Ravnica somehow?
Well, so, let's compare it to Soul of Zendikar, which is also a 6-drop, also 6/6. It has reach instead of flying, which is, you know, that's like the butt end of flying, let's be honest.
Yeah,
but you've got 5 mana, put a 3/3 green beast creature token onto the battlefield. Or spend 5 and exile it to put a 3/3 green. So it's the same kind of mechanic
where you
can do it every turn, and then even once it dies, you can do it once more.
Cool.
So how do these two compare? Well, one, the Soul of... They're both fairly slow, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
But the Soul of Zendikar is much faster because you just are directly putting
out
creatures
dudes.
Out on the battlefield as opposed to just... Oh, let's draw some cards and maybe I'll get a creature, or maybe it's all lands, or maybe I'm drawing my second Soul of Ravnica.
Oh, nice.
But Ravnica was set in a city, right? Where, and what do people do in cities? They go to the library.
Buy things.
They're educated.
Yeah.
Educated people.
Get in pedestrian versus, vehicle accidents.
So, yeah, I think the flavor of Ravnica is more of like, oh, yeah, where this is all civilization and stuff, whereas the Soul of Zendikar was a set... That was all about landfall. It was very aggressive, so things happened very quickly. It was all about rugged explorers and the dangers of just being outside where you could get struck by lightning or maybe...
I know, that's your fear.
...a falling rock storm.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're reflective of those sets a little bit. It's weird to think of sets as having a color on their own because every set is obviously balanced and has an equal number.
But there's
of
always
cards.
A color that's better, am I right?
No, there's a booby doo. But funnily enough, I think in Zendikar, green was pretty bad.
Oh, really? Well, yeah, because it was fast, so.
Green can be fast, but in Zendikar, I had never really played the format myself, but I heard it was bad. Although there was like a mono green deck you could do that was like good.
I drafted Zendikar when it was the throwback draft on Modo.
How'd it go?
A few months ago.
How'd it go?
Awfully.
Did you get Zendikar?
I got Zendikar so hard.
Did you?
How many two drops? Only two drops? Did you draft?
I drafted a lot of two drops, uh-huh. But they were not good enough.
Yeah.
But I did pull a Celestial Colonnade, so that was pretty sweet.
Oh.
Yeah.
A lot of these cards that were spoiled were somehow spoiled unofficially for M15, by the way.
Somehow?
Yeah, I don't know. They look all funny if you look them up online. Like, they've been, like, there's a weird copy. Like, somebody stole
them up. They're in black and white.
A copy machine or something.
Someone lives inside and then there's the one copy that's machine redacted. At Wizards of the Coast.
Why is this one redacted?
You know, it has a swear word in it.
Swear
word in the title.
Weird. So you can find these on mythicspoiler.com if you're interested. Mm. Yeah, but this looks, you know, pretty straightforward as far as core sets go. The cards are, you know, what you would expect so far. Anything catch your eye here, Ben?
Well, it looks like things are going to be not like M14, if you guys remember that core set draft. And how slow and grindy it was.
Slow.
Maria, did you enjoy that?
I hated it.
Uh-huh. This one, it seems like there's, obviously there's going to be this cycle of six drops. There's, like, some dragon-y type things. Looks like Convoke is a returning mechanic.
What's Convoke, Ben?
Convoke is a mechanic that you can use to make spells cheaper by tapping creatures. So the ability says, let's look up the official ruling of the
Convoke. What is the oracle text on Convoke?
Some of our listeners have been very excited that Convoke appears to be returning. Mm. I think it seems pretty cool. Having never played with it before, quite excited.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so Convoke was originally from Ravnica City of Guilds, the original Ravnica set. It was the Selesnya mechanic, because they make a shit ton of tokens, like Saprolings and stuff.
Yeah.
And then you tap them all to cast some big, dumb piece of shit that cost 47 mana.
What?
And it's
47
mana.
And says, for each colored mana in the spell's total cost, you may tap an untapped creature of that color you control rather than pay that mana. For each generic mana, you may tap an untapped creature you control rather than pay that mana. So if it costs white 5, you could tap two white creatures and then spend 5 colorless mana to cast it, or you could tap 5 artifact creatures and then 2 planes and cast it that way.
All right.
So it's kind of a cool, it's kind of like, oh, any creature I play is like a Llanowar Elves, right?
Yeah.
Megan's being distracted by GP Atlanta coverage.
I'm sorry, this guy has a Hydra Broodmaster and an Arbor Colossus.
And 5,000 tokens.
And 5,000 things on the board. So I was just
distracted.
This is David
Ochoa's match against Nathan Holliday, in case you want to go back and watch. That is, like, a shit ton is going on this table.
I'm just saying, in case you ever want to see an Arbor Colossus and a Hydra Broodmaster on the table at the same time, go look it up. All right,
wow.
I'm done.
Wow. Anyway, so yeah, this seems really fun. There's a few things that are redacted. The mana cost of Inferno Fist. By the way, Inferno Fist, right up there in some of my favorite card names.
Quickling?
How do you
feel about that card name?
I feel like I love that card, Quickling.
So one of the cards that was officially spoiled when they were talking about the new card borders last year Waste Knot. One in a black for an enchantment. And this kind of made people think that there might also be some sort of, like, discard, like, deck, you know.
Well, this
that's
card was made by the fan community.
Oh.
So,
that's what I was thinking.
I believe that they probably had the set already done and they slotted it in, maybe?
I don't know.
I don't know if they would build
this
around it.
This show relies on a lot of discard, man.
They probably would not build around it. They probably just put it in the spot of a black rare, because they got they let the community pick all of the, like, attributes of it.
Yeah.
So they probably were working on the set and then they fit this in and then they just put, you know, the rest of the cards in as if they had made this one. So it would just be balanced or whatever.
Well, there's a lot of discard this card could
work with. It is interesting, because Waste Knot is, if there is no discard in the set, then it's just terrible.
It's just terrible.
Yeah. But I don't know. Let's see. I don't really see any discard cards that have been spoiled. So,
We'll see.
Mind rot.
Conspiracy, everybody. A lot of people are very excited about conspiracy. It's a new way to draft.
What's so new about it?
Well, it's a team-based draft in that,
It's not a team-based draft. It is a multiplayer draft.
So you draft with your buds. You get some buds and you draft, right?
Oh, how many buds?
There ain't no rule that says a dog can't draft magic.
I didn't say you can bring your dog.
I can bring Air Bud?
Yeah. Okay. Bring Air Bud. He's invited. We all draft this crazy new set, which has different mechanics and different interesting interactions and cards, with like conspiracy cards, which are unlike any other card in Magic. And then you play a multiplayer game as you would in Commander.
Say the conspiracy cards are unlike any other card in Magic. I've heard it said that they are a little bit like Commander cards because they start in what is the limited now equivalent of the command zone.
I think they're unlike any other cards in Magic.
Fine.
You can have multiple conspiracy cards. They affect the game. They can be hidden agendas which you reveal at a certain point.
The conspiracy cards do start in the command zone, but unlike most commanders, they will have an effect while they're in the command zone. Either a continuous effect or maybe an effect every turn or something. So give me an example, Maria.
Yes.
What's a conspiracy you're looking forward to having shoved in your command zone?
I'm really looking forward to take on the 35 card deck conspiracy.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, I would agree. That one seems pretty cool.
What five cards are you going to take out of your deck?
Lands.
How small do you think you can get your deck? Do you think you can get down to 25 cards?
What does it say? You may have a deck size of 35?
I think it reduces it by 5.
Right.
So you could have multiples of this?
Yeah, you could, potentially.
All right.
You can draft as many of these conspiracies as you want. They don't count towards your deck size. So just be sure you draft enough cards for a deck.
Advantageous Proclamation.
Okay.
Mm. And it's got... the art on this thing has a guy, the fattest man with the longest scroll, and he's like...
Look at this! Look at this proclamation! Isn't it advantageous for you?
The Beneficent Council deems you worthy of favor. They hope this doesn't provoke envy from your peers.
Okay, I don't know why he tacked that last sentence on there. Now I feel like it's supposed to make my peers envy me. Are they trying to make me the target of my peers? Why would he say that sentence? It just seems suspicious.
Agreed. Ben, what conspiracy are you looking forward to playing?
Double Stroke.
You did not even stop for a second to name the dirtiest card name in Magic.
What? Why is that a dirty card?
Look it up, kids.
Look up Double Stroke? All right, I'm going to Google Double Stroke.
All right, it lets you cast a sorcery or an instant twice, right?
It's because Maria is Baptist, and she doesn't enjoy or think that music is sinful.
I do.
And Double Stroke is a type of musical annotation.
Are you referring to the Double Stroke roll, which is a major element of rudimentary drumming?
Yeah, that's it.
Maria, you need to get over this music thing. Music is great.
I'm sorry,
it's wonderful.
There's nothing.
Agent of the devil.
That adds
there's
beauty
nothing
to all of our lives.
Dirty or shameful about
music.
Slapping the drums.
You put your fingers on those sticks. It's like holding two penises.
Double Stroke says whenever you cast an instant or sorcery, it's a hidden agenda. So with hidden agendas, you start the game within your command zone, but it's face down, and you choose a card name before the game even starts.
You write it down? Do you tattoo it on yourself? What do you do?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
I would assume you write it down, like on a piece of paper or something, or maybe, you know, just on the fucking card, whatever, and then you put it face down, and then when you flip it up, you basically get to choose a card in your deck ahead of time, and then you get different effects. In this case, you get to copy an instant or sorcery and choose new targets for it.
Man, these cards are crazy. It's like, when do you take a conspiracy over a good card in a pack?
Man,
you know?
It's like, I would compare it to in Cube, taking a land over a spell.
Okay, yeah.
Where you're thinking about, oh, well, I mean, these lands don't count against the spell slots in my deck, so they can make my deck better if I think I'm going to have enough playables.
Right.
I'm looking at the most terrifying awful art ever.
Worse than the leeches?
It's up there.
What is it?
Backup plan.
Oh, okay, I gotta find
it's
it.
It's a really...
That sounds dirty.
How is a backup plan dirty, Ben?
Because my plan is to... Your plan is to back up into me, and then I fall over.
Into a pile of mud.
And we're both naked.
Into a pile of mud. It's like this creepy... This Shelby, guy's got this creepy goblin face. What is this? I was going to say this is the card I was... The conspiracy I was interested in playing.
It's just a normal guy.
But I think it's cute.
He's just a normal guy who he has some posture issues.
Look
he
at
has
his
a
face.
Skin condition.
I'm not talking about anything except those creepy eyes and that smile.
He's got weird ears.
I think he just looks like a human and a cat head on.
What? No, look, Maria, this is the smile that he's smiling.
In the market for an alternative friend?
Yeah, creepy.
What does this card do?
It says, draw an additional hand of 7 cards as the game begins. Before taking mulligans, shuffle all but one of your hands into your library.
So you get to choose.
So basically, you get to draw 2 opening hands and then pick which one you want.
I don't know if that's good.
Wait, what?
I deal myself 2 separate opening hands of 7. I get to look at both of them and pick which one I want to keep.
It doesn't seem... So the card says, draw an additional hand of 7 cards as the game begins. Before taking mulligans, shuffle all but one of your hands into your library. This really, to me, makes it sound like if you don't mulligan, that you're just going to keep both hands.
No, it just means before taking mulligans.
It's like, what? I have 2 hands.
2 hands.
I have hand zone 1, hand zone 2.
You guys, this game between David and Nathan is continuing to get insane.
Oh my god! This is amazing.
I have never seen so many cards in a game of Magic before.
There's so many soldiers! Where the fuck did those soldiers
The horse, the Akron horse.
The Akron horse.
I see 14 lands on one side of the board and probably about the same
god.
Number on the other side.
They're gonna get decked.
This is gonna end with someone decking someone.
Yep. Anyway.
Someone decking themselves.
Sorry. The conspiracies are an interesting new kind of gameplay thing, but sort of.
Yeah, a new type of card.
We see a return of Flibbertigibbet on some art.
What?
Which art is he on?
So?
Provoke.
Where? I don't see it.
He's right here.
How do we know that's him? He's green.
Maybe it's his brother.
Okay, could be.
I'm going to have to go through and name the cutest card of the set. Oh, I haven't even thought about it, you guys.
Oh, well, don't get tired about it.
I'm going to do it. You guys, I'm going to do it for you, the listeners.
Okay, what's the cutest card?
No, this takes time.
Is it the card Smallpox?
That's not a card. Oh my god, it is.
Yeah, Smallpox, it's a reprint. Smallpox used to be a card.
Each player loses 1 life, discards a card, sacrifices a creature, then sacrifices land. No big deal, Smallpox.
It is a Smallpox.
No big deal, Smallpox.
That's what the flavor text says.
Glimmer point stakes
for you. How about Route?
No big deal, Smallpox.
Ooh, that's new art, I believe, right?
Ooh.
Route is 1.
That's pretty cool.
Is 1 half Wrath of God, and the other half that instant Wrath of God. Fate of Retribution.
That's Elish Norn, right? That's
yes, the art has a picture of Elish Norn. And Elish Norn, she seems to be chopping some heads off.
Mm-hmm.
She would.
Totally.
Ben, how do you feel about Conspiracy? I know you're not a huge fan of multiplayer games.
Not a huge fan of multiplayer games, so never going to play it, boycotting it, and quitting Magic if it ever comes out.
Conspiracy? Well, bad news is going to come.
What?
Yeah.
We don't know that.
You better get ready to quit.
Wouldn't that be a true conspiracy if they told us it was going to come out and then it was like, you know what, guys? Psych.
I don't think that's a conspiracy.
You open the packs and there's just like
dust.
Powdered dust falls out.
Anthrax?
Yeah.
They're killing their fan base.
They want to kill off...
Very specific fan base.
They want to kill off everyone that plays multiplayer.
You guys, you heard it here. Conspiracy actually going to be full of anthrax. Watch out.
I'm sure I'll play it. When sets lack sort of this like competitive element where it's like, oh, how do you figure out how to do well and beat this format? that when you take that away, that I find there's something really lacking. And it does seem like the games are going to be fun, but it'll be mostly about having fun and less about, oh, like, what am I trying to do? What goal am I trying to accomplish? Other than just, like, play some stuff, do some stuff, whatever.
So
I'll have
to
come up with my own arbitrary goals.
Right.
Like, get a deck with 20 cards in it.
Okay, that's fair. The third spoilers we're going to talk
about
today.
Also, by the way, Chartooth Cougar.
Oh, he's pretty cute.
That's got to be a euphemism, right?
Chartooth Cougar. It's like an old cougar lady who has smoked for years.
Oh, I was going to say it's a cougar who is a dentist. It's an old woman. It's an older woman who likes younger men and also is a dentist. Charred tooth cougar.
Wouldn't she have the charred tooth, though?
I don't know. No, she's curing other people's charred tooth.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that a common dental problem? A charred tooth? Have you been eating the coals from a forge?
Yeah.
I'm so hungry. I'm a British street urchin. All I do is stoke fires all day.
I nibble on the coals. It's the only day I have to eat.
How are we the only two doing British accents right now?
I know. I think I thought Megan would jump right in on this. Come on.
All right.
Okay,
vintage. There's also a mechanic we didn't talk about in Conspiracy. Did you want to talk about
we're never
it?
Never getting the Vintage Masters.
All right, never mind.
What did you want to say?
I was just going to say there's the Wheel of the Council, which is where everybody votes. It's different cards, people vote.
Oh.
Voting. So British.
See, I don't know if I like voting.
Because there's so many politics involved?
Sure.
Like, yeah. Let's vote against Ben just because we don't like
you guys. No, this is always my problem.
Ben doesn't want to play multiplayer because he knows he will be everyone's least favorite player at the table. So yeah. He will be targeted.
This is exactly how I feel.
He will be targeted to be removed from the game first.
Wow. I'm sorry.
Wow. Nice.
Anyway, Vintage Masters.
Talk about a different thing.
Great segue.
So Conspiracy is paper only. There's...
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if it would be impossible to do online.
But it would certainly... Do they do EDH online?
Oh, yes.
They do. Mm-hmm. Then yes and no.
What does
you
that
You can
mean?
Play it online. I've heard that it is unplayable
unstable.
Online.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go then.
Very hard
that
to do.
That answers that question.
So we had Modern Masters last summer, was it already? Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I loved Modern Masters, you guys. I absolutely loved it. It was so powerful. The decks that you could draft were so strong, and they were easy archetypes to follow. This, is it going to be anything like that, or am I going to be really disappointed? Go.
Nah, it's not going to be like that.
Okay.
One of the goals of Modern Masters was to get some more modern cards out into, I think, both paper Magic and online. And really the only goal of Vintage Masters, as far as I can tell, is that they want people to be able to play Vintage Magic online, which currently you can't do because most of the powerful cards just don't exist in any online set. So there's no way for people to get the cards.
Okay.
Some of the cards have appeared in the Powered Cube that comes out occasionally, but obviously that's not the same as playing Vintage format. So...
Yep.
They're going to have this...
Because Cube Online, you don't keep the cards from Cube.
And so previously on Magic Online, they've had like Magic Online Masters Editions where they've released... You know, they picked some cards that were important in Legacy decks, for example, and they're like, okay, people want these cards online, so we'll put these out so that people can have a way to get access to them and start playing with them. And so now they're doing this similar thing for Vintage cards, and obviously the big ones, which we've talked about before, are the Power 9.
Power 9!
The 5 Moxes, the Black Lotus, Ancestral Recall, Time Walk, and Time Twister. People want to get those cards, you know, so they can play with them in their deck. The art on these cards, by the way, looks really, really cool.
But, A lot of people are mad about the Mox art.
Why are they mad about the Mox art?
I don't know. They didn't like it as much. They're like, why don't you just keep the old stuff? I mean, like, the new Time Walk is insane. That looks so cool.
Yeah, it looks very cool. So anyway, this is going to be a normal draft set. You can draft it normally. And then there's going to be like some rare cards from alt sets and some super rare cards from alt sets.
Define drafting it normally. So I can't draft this while doing a headstand.
If that's normal for you.
Yeah, whatever. Do
okay.
It. The packs are going to be expensive.
How much?
It says $7.
For a pack? That's like what Modern Masters was.
Yeah. So it'll be about twice the cost of a normal pack. And then the really rare cards apparently will be like super mythic rare.
So there's a new rarity, super mythic rare, super ultra mythic, super super rare. How often are those going to come around?
Oh, I'm so excited to open a super super mythic super super rare.
Because I mean, obviously everybody's going to want to open a Mox or one of the Power Nine. I just want to know what are the chances of that occurring.
I'm not sure that they've told us.
Okay.
Wow. Wait, do they give numbers sometimes of like it is there one in this many packs has a Mox in it or?
I don't know. Do we know how many packs a mythic appears in?
Yeah, that's none.
Do you know what it is?
I don't know what it is.
Okay.
Okay.
It's like 1 in 3 rares or something. Oh, let's see. 1 in 8. One mythic in 8. Rare appears in place of rare 1 out of roughly 8 packs.
Okay. So this is probably 1 in every 16? Probably more than that, huh? I shouldn't speculate. I have absolutely no idea.
Maria, get into speculation.
But if you open one of those, I mean, you're going to be a pretty happy camper. Those things, I don't know what they're going to be worth online, but...
Yeah, they'll probably be worth several $1 million.
Okay, good, good, good.
It seems like they're going to be worth a lot of tickets.
Awesome.
Several million tickets.
Probably, 500 tickets, something like that.
Holy shit. That would be, I'd be set for like a year?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So how long will Vintage Masters run for? Or is that something that we know?
Forever? I don't know. That's a good question because, they're going to put it out, people are going to draft it, and then once it ends, people will not really have a way to get these cards anymore, right?
Right.
So maybe they'll bring it back occasionally just so people can get access to them, but I don't know.
I guess what I'm saying is I don't have a ton of interest in playing Vintage Masters.
But you do have a ton of interest in getting 500 tickets.
But would it be worthwhile to like buy packs and then when the set goes offline to sell them?
Because are you saying that because Modern Masters is worth $20 pack
now?
Yeah,
like Modern Masters is now worth $20 pack. Will that happen? I guess that's my question.
Maybe.
Yeah, either that'll happen or it will not.
Oh. Very interesting.
Would go down in price, although once you can't draft them anymore, maybe.
Okay. I don't know. I think they'll go up, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, these what it consists of, everybody out there who doesn't know, is cards from the history of Magic. Very powerful cards, and it was built to kind of resemble some of the old favorite standard decks that people built way, way back in the day of Magic's infancy. So there'll be classic archetypes in there that you may recognize if you're a veteran player. And so the appeal is draft one of those decks that you used to play when you played, many years ago is part of the appeal. And you get to play with cards like Armageddon, which is 4 mana to destroy all lands. I mean,
that sounds like fun.
Holy sounds like a good time. Shit.
Stuff like that. So,
I mean, it's just like playing a Gideon Jura.
Is it?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm not totally jazzed about this like I was about Modern Masters, but I feel like I'll try it out and probably lose really hard.
Yeah.
But I, you know what? Always do it once. That's my motto.
Yep, I see myself losing very hard.
Because I just don't understand. I mean, like, I could read up on it, but I just don't have a good of a grip on these older cards as I would like to be able to do well in the format. But, yeah, I would encourage people to try it out. I mean, it's probably going to be really overpowered and fun. Not quite cube-level overpowered, but...
Yeah, probably not cube-level.
Yeah.
In fact, it might be way lower powered. Because, like, when the Magic Online, those, like, modern... The Magic Online Masters editions came out, they had a lot of like shitty old cards because it was like those are the kinds of cards they made back in the day.
That's true.
So it might just be a lot of like really underpowered cards, and then oh my god, are like, huh, this mox doesn't seem that great when I'm just casting a 6-mana 4/4.
How about Breath of Life, 4 mana, put something from your graveyard back into play?
Ancestral Recall.
Sounds good.
What are you putting back into play, though?
You know, a really good card.
Oh, yeah, okay.
My Emrakul.
That'd be really good, then.
All right. So there's some spoilers for you guys. More talk on those once they come out. I'm sure we'll experience them and talk at your faces about them. Mm. So get those deep pits in the side of your face ready to receive our audio signals. Card of the week. Megan, what's your card of the week?
My card of the week is Cast into Darkness.
Ooh.
We're back talking about Journey into Nyx.
Yep.
It's a 1 and a black for an enchantment. Target creature gets -2/-0 and can't block. I think that right now this card is totally underrated and super sweet. It's what you want to be doing, man.
It is what you want to be doing.
At 2 mana, you can drop it on something. Like if you're an aggressive deck, you can drop it on their early blocker and boom, can't block. If they have some big creatures, you can downsize them a little bit. And again, I just feel like -2/-0 right now, it's not a great attacker. Like it's not as attacking you for as much as it could have been, and it can't block. So really, it's not doing either of those things particularly effectively anymore. So why not cast something into darkness?
It reminds me of Pin to the Earth as well, which is 2 mana. Give something, what is it, -8?
-6/-0.
Great card as well.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So, if you slap that on like a 4 toughness dude, they can still block all day with that guy.
I don't care. Pin to the Earth is good.
I also think it is good.
Yeah, but I feel like
everyone right now is like, Pin to the Earth is so good, and no one's like, Cast into Darkness is so good. But it is.
Which would you rather have?
Putting you on the line. By the way, your deck is red white.
Well, shit. I think it really depends. If I'm a more aggressive deck, then absolutely absolutely Cast into Darkness.
Uh-huh. Yep.
If I'm a more controlling deck, I might. God, then I just want both. Can I have both?
Okay, I can't say no to you.
I just want both. Thank
okay, you have both.
Thanks, Mom.
Now, do you want 2 Pinned to the Earth and 1 of the other one, or?
I think I want 2 Pinned to the Earth, 1 Cast into Darkness.
Ooh.
Nice.
In a control deck.
So you can pin something and then also cast it later?
I want that in a control deck. In an aggro deck, I'm still going to go 2 Cast into Darkness.
Okay.
Final answer.
All right.
Can I phone a friend?
No.
I'd like to poll the audience.
We're your only friends.
Can I do 50-50?
No.
Oh, damn it.
Ben, card of the week.
My card of the week is Temple of M'lady.
Oh my god.
This is a scry land. It enters the battlefield tapped.
Your card of the week is a fucking land.
You can tap it. Yeah, you can tap it for green or black.
Uh-huh.
And
you just want to say M'lady.
And it's a very polite card.
Damn it, Ben. We're trying to have a real conversation over here. You're just fucking it up.
Fine. My card of the week is Nessie and Game Warden. Play 500 forests and get an extra creature.
That card is good, by the way. It's better than it looks.
It's basically a Johnny.
You get
a card that it's like it had counters put on it, and then you draw an extra creature.
Okay. It's a fair
assessment. Then you never gain 100 life. So it's exactly like
Nobody who's ever played a Johnny has gained 100 life, by the way.
Yes, they have.
Well, I played him and I didn't, so nobody has.
If I can't do it, no one can.
Stomp, stomp, stomp.
I was about to, and then my opponent conceded instead.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so no one has, I guess.
Yep, that's what I'm saying.
But
and
someone
even if
has,
you had,
for real.
I bet the game turned out exactly like if you hadn't.
Yeah, probably.
My card of the week is Ravenous Lucrocosha.
Ravenous Lucrocata?
Ravenous Lucrocata.
It makes my throat sore just listening to the name.
Yeah, much like Welsh. Your mouth gets a workout after saying it.
What? Because everyone starts making out with you right away.
Yes. Yes. No, after I speak Welsh for a long time, my mouth is more tired than after I've been speaking English.
Oh, it's like typing in a QWERTY keyboard.
Correct. So this card is a 2/4. His monstrosity, 7.
Are there a lot of, like, wasted syllables in Welsh?
No, but you dress up your words a lot. You know?
What does that mean?
It means that you get to roll your R's and use different sounds, like the double L sound.
Which I'm going to use a pronoun, but I'm going to dress him up like a go-go dancer.
Like, that takes more tongue action than any word in English.
What is tongue action?
Ben, if you don't know what tongue action is at 30...
31.
31. I don't know what to tell you, buddy. I'm sorry.
Anyway, my point is that this is a good card that is also dressed in bad cards clothing. You might not think that it is good because it looks very underwhelming. It is a 2/4 for 4. It has vigilance and has monstrosity 3 for 7. It is awesome. Every time I've played this card, I have loved it. It has stopped people in their stupid tracks. And then I can monstrous him later? Like, are you kidding me? He's so great against all these aggressive decks.
The problem might be that your opponents have stupid tracks. Do they also have stupid feet that are leaving stupid tracks?
Yes. Yes, they do.
Huh. Harsh.
Friends, I'm on a new quest.
What?
To determine which card in Journey to Nyx has the most tongue action.
I mean, Ravenous Lucrocata is up there, I feel like.
Does
he
have a tongue out?
Yeah, well, I feel
no,
like...
His mouth is open, but his tongue is not out. His tongue is firmly in. It's...
Do you think this Crystal and Nautilus are those tongues?
Crystal and Nautilus is in the lead so far.
For many tongues?
Yeah.
I agree. Ravenous Lucrocata is a sweet card. Everyone loves monstrosity. Everyone loves a monster.
I always ask people, would you rather have Ravenous Lucrocata or would you rather have Fairy's Band Tromper? Obviously, you don't have to really choose. And if you have to choose, you probably got a good deck.
Yeah.
But I think the 2/4 is the right choice.
What people be choosing?
Really? I think Fairy's Band Tromper.
Ben.
Probably the Lucrocata. The Tromper just, like, sometimes never gets going. Whereas the Lucrocata eventually always gets going.
And as long as you have 7 lands.
I'm still going to go with Trompers.
You see any more tongue action going on here, Ben?
No. So far, like, Riptide Chimera is winning just because it's got, you know.
Because it has 3 heads, so
it's
3 minutes, 3 tongues.
Yeah, and we still don't see most of them, but we know they're there. Maybe Flurry of Horns.
Because his mouth is open. Ooh, Gluttonous Cyclops.
That's, yeah. All right.
Yeah,
there we go.
There we go.
There's the
Gluttonous Cyclops.
That's the tongue
most
action
I've
been looking for.
All right.
Oh, my God.
What?
Sigiled Skink.
Oh, you're right.
His
is
tongue
Sigiled Skink.
Is like, his tongue is the length of a carpet at the Emmys.
There's an insult I wish I could use in the future. Her tongue is as long as a carpet at the Emmys.
Your mom is so old. Her boobs look like the carpet at the end.
Wow.
Oh, God. Flavortext Theater presents Sentences Only a Magic Player Could Love. So, you guys, on Reddit this week...
Yeah. Did you fall in love?
Yeah, many times. Every week, many times. There was a fun thread... based on sentences only a player who plays Magic would understand, and the general public would think, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
And so this inspired me to think of some sentences that only a Magic player would understand.
Or appreciate, because
appreciate.
I have a couple
that
are like, if you don't play Magic, you might be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. Okay, so here's my number one. That badger wants pants real bad.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
And he does.
You know, that I mean, if you're playing that charging badger, he does want pants.
Pants being, like, you know, something to buff, to boost.
Pants chantments?
Pants.
He wants pants chantments.
In case our listeners don't know what pants are.
Yeah.
You know, they make a dude bigger.
Yeah, so like, so an enchantment or an aura or a bestow creature of some sort.
Correct.
You want to stick a fearsome temper on him.
Right.
You want to put a Nimbus Naiad on him.
Right.
You want to put counters on him with Reap What Is Sown.
So here's another one for you. I'd tap Amara, but she has such a big butt, I'd rather hold her back.
Afara?
Well, Amara Tondras.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Has a notoriously big ass.
That girl's ass is so big, it's notorious.
It's like a carpet at the Emmys.
Okay, that doesn't work for everything. Do you have any, Megan?
I was just thinking of, like, anytime I'm around non-magic players and I'm like, yeah, and then I bolted his face.
Yeah.
Or, like, I burned his face. I was playing Maria the other day and then I burned her face for the last 3 points of damage.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're not a magic player, you're like, what the fuck?
You did what to her face?
You're burning people's faces? Like, yeah, with lightning.
One from the thread that I thought was humorous was pay 3, murder your mom, which is the card murder plus mother of runes. That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Yep, yep. I agree.
And you really knocked the sandals off that hydra. If he had some fleet feather sandals on him, you humorist or something? I don't know.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Get those sandals off that hydra.
Can we formulate some sentences that only people that do not play magic would understand?
You're breaking my brain right now.
I don't like the game Magic the Gathering.
It's only just a game, right?
I do not understand that. You're correct.
It's just a game, right? That's probably the best one.
Do you guys want to spend this weekend day outside?
Don't understand that.
I don't get what's going on.
If you guys have a good sentence that you think only magic players would love, please tweet it at us at MTAcast. We would love to have you along for the ride. Well, everybody, that's Magic the Amateuring for this week.
That was it?
That's all, Ben.
Can't we squeeze some more juice out of this dried out rind?
Ew.
You can try, but you might just get blisters on your fingers.
Oh, maybe we should zest it.
Not squeezing with my fingers.
What are you squeezing with your thighs?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, so you guys, I hope you are all subscribers on iTunes, and I hope you've left us a review. That would make me very happy inside and outside, everywhere, every part of me. Leave us a review. We'll make a pun based on your username on iTunes or on Stitcher.
You can email us at magictheamaturing@gmail.com, and you can find us on themeetery.org. At our website, magictheamaturing.com, and at your house.
And online.
We're there right now.
My username's horny_unicorny.
Mine is ice cream socialist.
Mine's middle schooler.
Yeah, and we stream from time to time at twitch.tv/magictheamaturing. You can follow us on there or follow us on Twitter, and we always tweet when we are going to stream. So there you go.
There you go, buddies.
There you go.
Yeah. If you've got anything you want us to talk about on the show, shoot us a tweet. That's the best way to get a hold of us.
Tweet when you stream, tweet when you scream. That's what I always say.
If you're in danger, don't tweet.
No, scream, then tweet.
About it?
Tweet.
Just scream so loud because of the danger I'm in. My throat's sore.
You need to tweet at cops.
At cops?
At cops.
Who is cops?
At cops, hashtag 911.
See you next week, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Happy Memorial Day.